Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett. I'm your host, and on this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Thanks so much for sticking around. I know I've had a little bit of a wonky schedule this summer, so I'm happy to be back with a fresh episode to give you an overview of Podcast Movement 2018. Say hello to my guest, Tim. He is a podcast fan. That is his go-to.
Hello, Mackenzie. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Thank you for working with me on this. I spontaneously asked you during a conversation that we were having at Podcast Movement last week, and you were so gracious to come on the show with me.
Well, you know, it's I love the podcasting community, and it's I don't have a podcast myself, at least not yet. So whatever I can do to help, and you know, I've got a lot of friends that are podcasters, so you know, that's what friends do.
Definitely. I mean, I know that you're you don't have a podcast, but you're pretty aware of how everything works in it. So it felt like you would be a good kind of third party in that sense to give feedback on how you think the event went and kind of your perspective of it. So looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, that I intended to start a podcast years ago, and I really love the space. And, you know, life kind of got in the way, and that hasn't been a priority, although I still intend to do it. But, you know, I've been involved in and around the podcast community now for 7 years. Mm-hmm. I've been to all five of the Podcast Movement conferences, two Media Expo conferences before they Podcast Movement started up. And I'm, as a background, I'm kind of a geek to begin with and always have been. I'm a ham radio operator, and I love my electronics, and so the technical end of podcasting is kind of what got me interested, to be honest with you.
I mean, if it was and 7 years ago, that makes sense.
Yeah, and about half of what I wanted to start a podcast for was the journey of the technology and learning things like PowerPress and how CDNs work and all that thing, as well as, you know, the part that podcasters get excited about, the mics and the mixers and all that. And I had a lot of that equipment anyway, so it was just kind of a natural fit. But getting more into it, you know, I had my eyes opened as to what this community really was. And it's touched my heart. So it's not just the technology anymore.
It really has evolved into a community. And I think a big portion of that is actually with, you know, the improvements and the event that Jared Easley and Dan Franks have put on with Podcast Movement. So you said you've been there for 5 years, including, I think there were 2 years in Fort Worth, and I've been going for the past four. So we've seen it turn into something much, much, much more than what it started out as, that is for sure.
Oh, yeah. The growth has been incredible. And Jared and Dan and Gary Leland and all their support folks have done a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you firsthand, they are very interested in feedback. I've talked to them one-on-one, and they're sincerely interested. And I'm not saying I'm the only one that brought things up to them, but things that I had that I brought up as a concern, I love going to conferences. I'm kind of a conference junkie. But they took that, and I saw those improvements in future years, and it has done nothing but continue to improve.
It actually is one of those conferences where, since Blueberry is one of the sponsors, and I primarily am the one involved in organizing and getting us ready for events, is whenever I tell something to Dan, I have seen things implemented. I have seen him actually respond to things and given me feedback and, you know, ask follow-up questions, that type of thing. And it's very much appreciated. I have to really give him some thanks for that, because as a sponsor, we appreciate it. And as someone that just has to work with them, I appreciate it, because I work with all of our events and sometimes it's very frustrating.
Oh, I can imagine. It just, you know, back in the day, as Dave Jackson would say, when I was in Explorer Scouts and Boy Scouts, we did some conferences at conference centers, and working with the rules and the guidelines and trying to set up booths, the logistics is just a nightmare. So I could only imagine. And to have somebody on that end that's responsive to you as a sponsor has got to be very refreshing.
So this year was a little new for me. I was on two different panels on Thursday, one about hosting. I was representing Blueberry for that. And then the other was talking about copyrighted music in podcasts, because there is just levels upon levels of confusion and the legalities and the do's and don'ts of that scenario. So that was a good one. And Todd was in the State of Podcasting session that they do every year with Rob Walsh and Rob Greenlee, and then they switch up whoever else is in it. And I believe her name is Carrie Huffman. She was involved as well this year. So, and then he did his social media strategies, which packed the house again. And I always get out of there because it's hot and stuffy and I know the content and other people need to be in there.
First of all, I have to apologize to you, and I guess here I'll do it publicly, is I did not make either of your sessions.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
However, the reason why, I'm sure we will get into later, and that has to do with networking and the things that happen in the hallways.
Indeed.
I was at Todd's social media talk last year, and yeah, he was kind of concerned that, you know, maybe it wouldn't get the audience he was hoping for, and it was standing room only. Exactly. It was phenomenal. So I can only imagine what it was like this year.
Same thing. Just it happened much faster.
Well, he does a great job.
Much quicker. He is very right in what he is saying in those sessions. So if people were unable to catch it, I hope you got the virtual ticket. And if so, check it out there. And if you really, really want to know, we might just be nice enough to share some of the information with you if you ask directly. I'm not going to guarantee that, but you never know. Okay, Todd and I were involved in those sessions. It was myself, Todd Cochran, and Mike Dell, our support guy, who you're very familiar with, I'm sure. We were manning the booth this year, and we had some pretty good traffic, got to meet some new people, and my favorite thing ever is that people were not asking, what is a podcast this year?
Oh,
because wow. That has happened. But
mark your
years.
Calendars, ladies and gentlemen. This is a first.
It really felt like it.
That speaks to where the space is going. And you know, as a side note to that, kind of that lets you know kind of podcasts are becoming a thing. So let me share two things that happened. One on the flight home and one yesterday driving through town. And on the flight home, I flew Delta Airlines. Oh, see, I wasn't ready for this, so I don't have the name of the podcast. But they have, you can get free movies and free music and whatnot.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
On the airplane, so I'm looking through their audio files and whatnot, and I apologize to whoever's podcast this is, but there was one podcast that was available to listen to, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I thought,
that's awesome.
It's okay. It's getting there. And so that was pretty exciting. And then, oh, wait a second here. It was the Filmstruck podcast.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. I don't know who does it, but
congrats to them.
Yeah. So they've made it onto Delta Airlines. The other thing is I travel around a lot, and I'm located here in Southern California. And I imagine most places have it where they have the Adopt a Highway signs.
Oh, yes. We have those here in Ohio.
Yeah. And okay, so anyway, I'm driving down the freeway, and it's one of those Adopt a Highway signs. And it's adopted by the Positive Phil podcast.
Really?
And so I'm going, now that, ladies and gentlemen, is advertising.
That's what I'm saying. People ask all the time. They're like, how do we market? And I'm like, well, you market kind of the same way. Like, yes, there are totally new ways to market this, and just in the sense that we're online. I mean, however, go to the old school things. Don't discredit things that are outside that random people are going to see.
So I haven't listened to an episode yet, but when I stopped the car, I subscribed because I want to check this guy out. And that's what it is. And if I like his podcast, I'll stay.
Exactly.
So I thought, What a great wrap up. And it's, you know, you're starting to hear references all the time on television now, on TV shows and on the radio. And so it's exciting space. And I that was reinforced at Podcast Movement once again this year.
What were some of the takeaways that you got in terms of things that you think are going to be changing? I know Google kind of dropped a little bomb on the podcasting community while they were there doing their keynote, actually. Not necessarily a bomb in a bad sense, but an information overload of, hey, we're here.
Right. And I know there are people in the space that have been begging for Google to do something on the mm-hmm. Android platform. Mm-hmm. And theoretically, that's the other half
that's missing. That's been missing.
That's missing from the Apple devices. If it boosts it that much, I don't think it's going to be the wildfire storm that people think it's going to be. I think it definitely will over time.
Yes.
But I could be wrong. But it's not like it's something they couldn't do and now they can. It's just more of an ease of, I don't want to say discovery, but the ease of just the platform being there. So, right. I mean, we'll see.
I feel like discovery means more so along the lines of finding a show that you would want to listen to. And this is making it just more applicable for people that are not currently listening to podcasts to do so.
This whole discovery concept not having a podcast of my own yet. This is why I feel I'm kind of in a unique situation.
Yes.
Is I'm kind of a super fan, I guess you could say, or whatever. But I don't think discovery's the problem after the first one. I think it's if somebody, usually by word of mouth or a freeway sign, mm-hmm. can discover a podcast, it's incumbent upon all podcast producers to put out a great show, because if that first show is a great show, a great episode, people are probably going to go, well, I kind of like this. What else am I interested in that might have a podcast? And yes. Then they go search.
Yes, that definitely happens.
I think it's the proverbial snowball starts the avalanche. Mm-hmm. So if those initial one or two shows that people connect with, I think that will open the doors to individuals to go look. And I don't know that discovery is really the problem. Now, search engine stuff could definitely be better in the current apps.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where I'm having a lot of hope for Google, not just on an Android device. It's encouraging to me that within the Google search engine, if they put a podcast tab up there like they do with images and videos and whatnot, and I believe they will, I think that'll be huge.
I would love to see that happen eventually. Okay, so quick wrap up of what Google announced at their keynote at Podcast Movement was that they are improving their app. Like Tim was saying, their discoverability and their searching in the app is going to be much better than in the past, and that it's really going to be based on when people search for your podcast, what shows up is going to be the main way that their search is going to function. So if people can find, like, if you know the RSS feed with your website is showing up immediately, then that is good for you. So having a website, like we've been telling people to do just for SEO, then you are already on the right track. You're doing great. So there's going to be some people that are probably going to make that a little bit of a priority now. Some that still are not going to care just because they're going to come up and search fine and they're not going to worry about it, which is also not the worst thing in the world. So there's a little bit of that. They mentioned some advertising that they're looking into and potential hosting as well. So really they're just kind of, they're stepping up. They're making their presence known in the community now. I mean, this is the first time that they've had any type of session of that size. And I mean, I don't necessarily say session, but they've never been that involved before.
They had some folks show up last year, I think, to collect some data and kind of feel things out.
So yeah, definitely.
So they knew where their dev team was going to go. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is obviously the result of that. And what that tells me is it's more proof that podcasting is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
When you get somebody like Google that steps up to the plate, they acknowledge that this is something significant. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be here for a while, hopefully a long, long time.
Definitely. So curious to see where that's going to be going over. Keep up with what is going on with Google and podcasting. That is all I would really recommend to any podcaster out there. I mean, whenever Apple or Google or Spotify at this point says that they're going to make a change, it's just kind of as a podcaster, those are some big influences in the community. So it's always, always important to keep your head above water in terms of information with those companies, I feel like. So,
yeah.
What else? What stood out to you this year, whether it was a company, a party, a new service, you know, an announcement, anything like that?
Well, party-wise, the one that stood out to me was the Jack Daniel's party, because that's my beverage of choice. So
it is mine as well, but I did not go.
Oh, well, it was a good food, mm-hmm. good drink, and just sat down and chatted with a lot of folks.
That was the one that was done after, like, after all the everything shut down, right?
Yes, okay. That was kind of the closing party.
Yeah.
The after party, if you will.
Gotcha.
You know, one of the other parties they had in the, I can't remember the name of the place across the street.
Reading Terminal.
Thank you. Reading Terminal, which if you haven't been there, it's a enclosed under a roof, but it's kind of like an open air market with mm-hmm. all sorts of deli counters and food vendors, and there's produce and kind of a lunch spot. But then Podcast Movement took that space over after closing and had a couple of bands, and there was dancing, and it was a great party. People had a lot of fun.
That was put on by Castbox, and it was an impressive party.
Yes, it was.
There was quite a bit of effort put into that, which was appreciated because I had some delicious donuts. So I liked that. That one kind of just stood out to me in the sense of they're willing to make their name known.
Yeah, I think that was a good kind of first step into the space. And we'll see. We'll see, you know, what kind of ROI they get on that. But I'll tell you what, everybody I talked to had a great time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking while I was there as well. So I am kind of upset that I missed it, but I heard that Anchor had a session as well. And I know some people had some opinions on it of whether or not it was actually useful information. I personally am not. Since I was not there, I don't really have much else to add, but...
You know, I didn't go to that session either, but I did go to a couple that ended up, although it was interesting information, mm-hmm. it basically was a commercial for certain products.
Right.
That kind of surprised me in a way, because it was kind of like going to an infomercial.
That's not what you want.
No, and I'm kind of start some controversy. I'm kind of an anti-marketing guy anyway, mm-hmm. which has been an interesting journey with podcasting, because that mindset has sure changed over the years.
Oh, yeah. Even I feel like I've seen that changed a little bit.
Yeah. But and just a quick reason why is, you know, people are getting big into, you know, wanting to cut the cords and whatnot, mm-hmm. and they want a little more choice and on. Well, to me, in an audio sense, for audio podcasting, that's what that does. And that's why I got really excited. But now I'm starting to see that change. And nothing against anybody who wants to monetize, but I just don't want to see podcasts become the radio shows and the TV shows that we're wanting to cut the cord from. Yes. I mean, you know, we DVR stuff to fast forward to the commercials, and yes, I can hit a fast forward button on my podcasting app, but I'm more the pro indie podcaster, and, you know, a guy needs to cover his costs for hosting or whatnot, and I get it, but that doesn't mean I have to like it, I guess. I just don't, I hate to see podcasting become so commercialized that it doesn't have the voice that it has now.
Well, and I know exactly what you mean, I don't want to listen to a commercial, and it's not that I don't want to listen to a commercial. I will happily listen to a commercial because I know that people have to be sourcing this somehow. But it's more so the tone that
yes
is important, in that I will listen to someone's advertisement. I will listen to the sponsorship deals, and, you know, even consider, do I actually want that product? It's just, people don't want to be sold to. And that is why DVR was invented, because they could specifically avoid the things that take up 8 minutes of their episode that right. they did not want to listen to. And so, yes, people will be able to do that with their 15-second thing, which I already do as well sometimes, but it's all determined off of the way that it's done. And it has to feel natural. It has to feel like we're not begging for this and we're not just shoving this right. off to you. It's yeah. that this isn't, we don't want to make this our entire thing, but this is crucial to keeping our show going and improving and getting the sponsors and the ads at the rate that we are. Because for some people that are at a certain level, they lose those ads. They're like, they stop making money off of this and then they're going to stop doing it because this right. is their full-time job. This is how they make their income.
Right. And I respect that. And, you know, there's always exceptions, and there is for me, it's, The Way I Heard It podcast with mm-hmm. Mike Rowe, mm-hmm. I look forward to his commercials because he, in my book, is the master of how to segue in and out of an ad
right.
and make it realistic. And all of that stuff is real pertinent to some of the outside work that and benefits that he is involved in. So, if you can do it like that, And it's entertainment, but you know there aren't a lot of podcasters I don't think are going to reach his level of expertise. But we can all try.
That's going to be true. Yeah, it speaks to a level of a podcaster's creativity because we all think that we have a message worth sharing and in this unique, intimate way because that's just the nature of podcasts. And then, you know, someone gives us this content that we're like, okay, well, we have to sell this. And then people suck at it. And I'm like, well, this is what you're claiming you're good at, is making your message heard and making it available to people in a way that they're going to want. And then you get this and you can't take a little bit of time to make it better and to make it less cringeworthy for people. Like, come on. I don't understand that.
Yeah. And like you say, it's the importance of podcasting, especially at this stage, is the voice that you have.
Yeah.
Don't lose your voice over an ad.
Exactly. You can do this and keep your reputation, I feel like, without just, I don't know. It goes back to something that feels a little old, but like, you know, stand up to the man a little bit, like make it better.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I'll just share some comments that I heard. Mm-hmm. And really the only, I don't know that it's a negative comment about Podcast Movement 2018, but yeah. the one I did hear from my friends is they kind of felt like maybe it's getting a little too big. And I think to put that in context, the first one I believe was about 500 people. It was a very small, intimate, exciting, energy-driven event. You got more FaceTime with individuals and the networking. And this is kind of where I apologized in the beginning of the episode about not attending your thing. A couple of things happen at these conferences, and you have to make some tough decisions. One is there are several things that you really are interested in, really want to see. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you, two and even three for me this year occur at the same time.
Yes.
So then you have to decide which one's going to benefit me the most now.
Absolutely.
Or to advance to the next step. The other issue was, granted, I've been to enough of these now, and because there's not anything in particular I need to do to advance since I don't have one yet. Is the networking, mm-hmm. because you will meet people. In fact, I met a gentleman, Ted Forbes. He's a photographer out of Texas. I met him actually at a New Media Expo 7 years ago. We just sat down at a table and talked, and I gave him an elevator pitch for what I thought was going to be my podcast. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, that doesn't really interest, but I'd listen to that.
Right.
And I've watched, he does YouTube channel, and I've watched that, and we've on social media been in contact back and forth, and that's that's kind of a connection and a friendship that you foster over time. And you do that at these show or conventions. And I've got a core group of, a dozen or more folks that it's like a class reunion for us every year.
Yep.
The Blueberry team has become some of those folks, but
mm-hmm. I know I'm happy to see you every time.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, and you never know where I'm going to show up.
Yeah.
I often will end up in Vegas at some other NAB or who knows what kind of show I may show up at. Because, mm-hmm. Like I say, I like these shows. But you develop these friendships. I'm friends with folks that have award-winning podcasts. I got to sit in a session. It was a privilege to sit in a session with three of my friends, Wayne Henderson, Troy Heinrichs, and Mark Coates. Did their first fireside chat, their first presentation about how to attract your fans and deal with your fans. They do Green Bay Packers podcast, Blacklist Exposed, and Resourceful Designer, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
But that room was packed. You know, and I was worried for them because they were worried there'd only be a few people. And of course, I had to be there. And it was exciting to see the exchange of ideas with these people and how excited the audience and that the heads were nodding up and down in agreement. And you could tell there were things that they were going to take away and implement in their own podcast to grow it and get their fans more engaged. So those are the kind of things that you get to see, you get these friendships, and you know what? It could be literally in the elevator and somebody gives you an idea that will take you in a direction you had no idea that
right.
you would go in. So I spent a lot of time in the hallways, and that's where a lot of things happen and a lot of friendships are made. And it was a great event. I kind of liked it when it was small and intimate, and it is getting big, but at the end of the day, it is a business. And if you can help more people, then that's what it needs to do.
I've also noticed the growth, and I didn't really realize it necessarily as it was happening until it was the last day. And I was like, oh, where's so-and-so? Oh, where's so-and-so? And I was like, oh, I didn't see them because I was busy networking with other people that I don't know yet.
Right. Well, it's harder to spot them passing in the hallway when there's that many people.
Yes, also that.
It used to be a lot easier. Now you have to go looking for people and you still don't find them. So.
I know. I had plans to meet up with a couple of people that it just didn't happen because things change at the drop of a hat. But I was also talking with some of the other hosting companies and they kind of had this look on their face, a moment there where it was like, wow, there's a lot of people here that we just don't know, that we don't have those relationships that we've had with other companies that have been around for so long because they're new, or we just, you know, it's they've been around for a couple of years and we don't have that connection like we do with all the others. And I kind of just had to shake my head a little bit about that because that is how this community keeps going.
Right.
Is with those new people and those new companies making things that don't exist and coming up with things in a different way than the way that they have been for the past 10 years. And it's the young in me standing out in a crowd of podcasters that have been in this for a very long time and are a different age group than me and
right.
me seeing it in a very different perspective that way.
People don't realize it, and I guess it's something that you get to see when you attend, is mm-hmm. it's kind of different because the whole thing is, oh, that podcast is my competition. Well, they're not really, and you shouldn't look at it as competitors. Well, the people that have been in this space, like Blueberry, for a long time, you're what would be considered industry competitors. What people don't realize is I've sat down at the dinner table with Todd Cochran mm-hmm. and Mike Dell and yourself mm-hmm. and with Crystal and with Rob Walsh with the Libsyn team.
Oh, yeah.
And with several other companies.
Absolutely.
And that is the kind of collaboration that make this space great.
Mm-hmm.
It's sure, at the end of the day, you're your own business and you have to run it that way. But I don't know where people thought that if you're doing the same thing, you have to be enemies to make it successful, because that's not the way it works.
No, and I feel like it's a little unique in that because with other industries, yeah, you're going to have collaborations between companies, but it's not a ton of overlap in that sense. It's like, yes, a record label will work with a magazine, or they will work with a podcast, or they'll work with a TV show or something like that. A record label is not going to work with another record label, though.
Well, you don't think that the TV studios all get in a big group and hug like podcasters do? Yeah, probably not so much.
No, it's just, we are in a little bit of a bubble in that sense. So, you know, if new companies are coming in and they're not automatically participating in that, they're not participating in the same way that the older companies necessarily are or have in the past. I feel it's a little much to assume that they don't necessarily want to. It is strange. Coming from the outside, it is a little strange. It's not a bad thing. I think it's fantastic. I love that about it. I also think that it's a little weird to step into when you haven't been in that welcoming and opening environment this entire time. And then
right,
some people just might not know. Yes, we give off that vibe, but some people and I might not be picking up on that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, if you're new in the space, mm-hmm. you're right. Most business, it's more of a competitive, I mean, it's every business needs a competitive edge, but it's absolutely not like with podcasting companies that you need to be worried about extending an olive branch, because olive branches aren't required. It's just a handshake.
Yeah.
People are friendly, and to startups, I'd say to know your audience, know your competition, and I think you'd probably be pleasantly surprised of how maybe their years of experience would help you ease a lot of your growing pains, because they've been there.
Yes, I think that stands out in this community. And if anything, it's something that we could improve on in potentially extending that olive branch to new people of, hey, that's a great idea type of situation, not necessarily like, I feel like some of the new companies could be getting more acknowledgement for things that they're creating and coming up with and ideas that they're implementing, as opposed to some standoffish vibes sometimes.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know. I'm not that much involved in business, but I am very involved as a customer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
of technology and whatnot. And, you know, it took me a long time to embrace the Apple ecosystem. But I'll tell you what, it does just work. And it's just so easy for me. I love the product. And, you know, there's a lot of products you can choose from out there. You know, it's probably no secret that when I'm ready to need a hosting company, Blueberry's where I'll go. And I love the integration of the PowerPress app. I've played with it.
Oh, you've spent probably longer with the app or with the plugin than I have.
Well,
you've seen more
iterations
of it. Well,
you've probably done more with it. Yes. Well, no, it's exciting. I kind of like, I've enjoyed watching new product announcements come out. Mm-hmm. Tweaks. Angelo's always making tweaks to make things better, and I know that comes from comments from your customer base as well as from your support team.
Yeah,
give some feedback. But it's just, if it'll make it better and make it easier, it seems like you guys do it, and that's great. So one of these days, Mackenzie, one of these days, I'll be on there.
Whenever you're ready, let us know.
All righty.
And then when you have your show up, we'll bring you back on the PowerPress podcast as a podcaster and not just someone who is informed.
Okay. That's a deal.
Good. Any other outstanding things that you feel like you should mention about Podcast Movement 2018?
I just, I had a great time. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you like your sleep like I do, forget it.
Oh, yeah, God, no.
Forget about
it. Yeah.
It was usually about a quarter after one every night. One night, I think it was 2:30.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because the after midnight conversations, I think, are probably some of the most valued where I learn the most.
They are for me every time.
Yeah, a lot of brainstorming. Of course, a lot of prejudice and barriers are down by that time of night, so maybe more flows in. I don't know.
Very true.
But no, if you've never been and you want to have a blast and learn a ton about podcasting and meet people that will give you ideas to help you grow and to become friends, you need to go.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
It can be an expense depending on travel and whatnot. I know people before me have said this, but if you're going to do one thing a year, I would say save up and do podcast movement. It's that good. And
I would agree.
Yeah. It's, and like I say, you may end up doing it and spend most of the time in the hallways, but I'll tell you what, sometimes that's more valuable.
That's what you, I mean, honestly, I feel like spend time in the hallway sometimes and then get your nitty gritty info in the virtual ticket that you're going to get anyway by getting the ticket to go.
Right. Right. I mean, sitting in the sessions is fun too, because it's just, you can pick up on the energy.
Yeah.
And in the early years, I never wanted to be out in the hallway. I always wanted to sit, and I did learn a lot and I enjoyed that, but then I kind of made that transition, and it's a value proposition of, is there something specific I need to learn? And in your beginning days, there is a lot, but then keep in perspective, don't waste all your time doing that. Reach out, get to know some people.
Yeah, you have to find your people a little bit, and you're most likely going to find them that way.
Well, as an example, most of the friends that I have made over the years that I consider good friends, that I spent a lot of time with this year, much to their chagrin, I suppose, I don't listen to their podcasts.
Right.
Because they're not of particular interest to me. I do listen to a few that actually is an industry podcast, has nothing to do with me. I'm retired now, but it's such a good podcast. I'm still getting stuff out of it. So it's just, that's the caliber of people though. But the way they do things on their show is something that you can learn from and take to your own. So don't lock yourself in a box thinking it just has to be stuff you like, stuff that you're interested in. Get out of the box a little bit. And all I can say is, you know, if a piece of knowledge is like a single drop of water, podcast movement is like an ocean.
Yeah, it's worth it every year. I'm super happy I got to go. And next year is going to be in mid-August in Orlando, Florida. Tickets are already on sale for that, if people are truly interested, or especially for the people that are already that live in the area.
Right.
No brainer.
Well, I already have mine.
Did you really get yours?
Of course.
Good.
Buy mine before I leave the event.
I don't have to worry about that, luckily.
I mean, that's how much I feel that it's worth my time and the investment.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus, like I say, at this point, it's like a big class reunion, and it's amazing. You still, although you're just, for me, networking with friends and meeting new friends, it's still amazing that the pieces that you take away and you can implement. And I know this sounds like a big commercial. Well, I guess it should be, because it's that good. Is it perfect? No, but nothing is. But like I say, you got a team that run podcast movement that are willing to your input. You know, you can talk to them one-on-one, you can send them emails, you see the changes. I mean, as a consumer of a convention, I don't know how much more I can ask for.
Well, I mean,
I get my money's worth.
I was going to say, you can't ask for a better endorsement of podcast movement than that. So I'll be back in 2 weeks with an episode from a PowerPress user. So get excited about that. And then I'll have some topics and a PowerPress tip from Sean Thorpe, of course. So look out for that. Of course, look out for your podcast hosted by Mike Dell and Todd Cochran coming up next Monday. And Tim, just thank you so much for being on, because I really wanted to get a different perspective of someone who is not behind the blueberry curtain. Because usually ask Mike or Todd or whoever else attended with me to kind of help give this recap. But I'm glad.
No problem.
Got you.
I had a lot of fun. And just to close out here is, and it popped into my head as you were talking, is I got a email from Chris Cremisso.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That did the Messengers documentary. And the one thing that he sent to me was, thanks for your cheerleading.
Yes.
So I suppose that's what I just did on this episode. But I haven't missed. I've been with you, Mackenzie, since your first episode, and I'm going to be here a long, long time. So
thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, and tell the Blueberry team, keep up the good work for me.
I shall. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe and tell your friends, because like we said earlier, word of mouth is the best marketing that you could ever get. So thanks, guys. We'll be back later.